Started. Okay, this is how to create your mastermind, your masterclass, or your five-day challenge. And so we're going to talk today about how we do that. And so I want to get started. And bear with me just a moment. I'm going to see if I can get Mark to pull in the shade here. Hold on just a second. All right, now we're stopped. I'm situated. Mark's going to get out of the van. He's going to let me do my call. So anyway, thank you so much for your patience this morning. I know it's about 3 after 10, so a little bit of a late start. We are recording, and so I'm coming to you from Florida. And Angela, tell us a little bit about where you are and where you are physically located this morning. I know you were traveling last time. Okay, and you're on mute.
Thank you. My name is Angela, and I am coming from northern part of Ohio. I'm like 20 miles north of Dayton, Ohio. And
Okay.
That's where I am coming from. I'm at home.
Perfect. And how about you?
So I'm at home this morning, which is in Westerville, Ohio.
Okay. And Linda?
I am in Washington, PA, which is between Pittsburgh and the Ohio border.
Ah, love it. I love it. And Mason?
Actually, I am in Newark, Ohio, sitting in my backyard, just kind of enjoying this conversation.
Oh, just down the road.
Yes. Yeah. So it looks like Linda is the furthest one away. And I think we've got everybody. Yeah, there's five of us on. So that's everybody. I'm on my cell phone today. So I have to, you know, scroll the screen back and forth to see everyone because everybody doesn't all show up. Okay, Sally is trying to get on and log in. So I'll get her on here in just a minute. I don't know if I can jump over. I don't want to lose the call. Mason is my co-host today. And so that's one of the things that we're going to talk about when I actually start the mastermind, officially the training for the mastermind. So there's two different calls. This one, the Friday morning call, is the free one. And this is where we go through five sessions and then everyone gets to take a turn. And I moderated, facilitated the first five sessions, and then Mason did five sessions, and then Angela did five sessions, and this morning Linda starts our five sessions. And so everybody gets to practice what it's like to do an actual mastermind. But on Monday, this coming Monday at 12 noon, we are actually going to dive a little deeper, and all of you that are on the call can be in that session at no charge. And so just jump over to thekathybinner.com and scroll down to that mastermind. And scroll down to my calendar link. Go to kathybinner.com and scroll down to my actual calendar, or go to the calendar page, and the Zoom ID will be right there on the calendar page. So I want everybody to have the opportunity to jump in on Monday if you want to. And what we're going to do is we're going to go a little deeper on actually how we decide what platform we're going to use, and how do we price a mastermind? How do we advertise our mastermind? How do we, how do we find the material that we want to use for mastermind? And we're just going to dive deeper in all of those things. Now, it's called to create a mastermind, a masterclass, or a five-day challenge. And you may wonder what is magical about the five sessions. And statistically, if you look at the numbers, once you go through five sessions, folks will feel connected to you. They'll feel connected to each other. And that's the whole point of a mastermind, is have them connect with each other. And once they start to feel connected with each other, they don't want to leave. They want to come back. As a matter of fact, Have you girls and guys ever been in a session like that? And when it came to an end, you were like, oh no, because you're feeling like you're connecting to some of those folks. And so you carry on those relationships. And oftentimes those relationships go on outside of the mastermind, which is what you want. You want connections to happen. You want those connections and for those relationships to continue. And so the number 5 is the magic number. Now, you can do more, or you could do just a one-day masterclass. I've done a lot of one-day masterclasses where it's been information that I've wanted. And so I've signed on and I've sat through a one-day masterclass and I got a lot of great information, but I didn't feel like I really connected with any of the other folks that were there. But the information might be good, and I might have signed on for a longer program if I really appreciated the information that I was learning. But when it's a 5 session is, again, the magic number. So that's why we're practicing the 5. And so on the free call, which is this one on Friday mornings, we are masterminding the book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And so with that said, you can go to, again, thekathybenner.com, scroll down to the free Create a Mastermind. And in that free icon, if you click through, you will see a link on where to get the Cliff Notes and where you could even buy the book if you wanted to buy the book. The link is there that takes you right over to Amazon. So you can get the Cliff Notes and or the book. Now, if you come on Monday, which is where we're actually going to start diving deeper into how to put together these masterminds, masterclasses, and challenges, then you will also have access to the facilitator guide. And the facilitator guide will actually help you put your material together for Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. But after we go through the Mondays, and we're going to meet every month at noon on that particular Monday, it's going to be a monthly call. As that unfolds, you will find how you can create your material to fit into a 5 session, if that's what you want to do. Now, if you want to do a one-day masterclass or you want to do something longer, I'll help you with that as well. So that's where we're at today. So that's the overview of what we're doing. Now, the purpose of a mastermind is to actually transition somebody from where they are to where they want to be. And so that's the whole point of having a mastermind, is to move the needle for your audience. You're always bringing value so that you can bring your audience along on a journey, on a 5 session journey, where they will have something tangible at the other end. So when we're doing this Friday morning class, for example, we go through a 5 sessions on Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And so we're bringing everyone on that journey on a fast track through that book. So if they read the book, that's fine. If they don't read the book, that's fine. If they just want to go with the Cliff Notes, that's fine. If they don't do either, if they don't read the book or get the Cliff Notes, they still get value out of our conversation about Everyone Communicating, Few Connecting. So to make the book fit the 5 session format, we choose, and this is what you're going to have to do with your material. You're either going to write your material for your 5 sessions, or you're going to take a book and break it down. And so since we're using the John Maxwell book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, we took chapter 1 for session 1, chapter 2 for session 2, and then we jumped over to chapter 6 for session 3, Chapter 7 for session 4, and then chapter 9 for session 5, which ties it all together. And when you see the John Maxwell book, you'll see that those are kind of the milestones of communicating and connecting. And so that's why those 5 chapters are chosen. So you'll have to decide that with your material when you're creating your own mastermind. If you're going to write the 5 sessions, see, then you're going to just put those transitional points right in your 5 sessions. But if you're using a book, you'll have to go through and find what those transitional points are. So hopefully that makes sense on what we're doing. And so today, Linda Thomas is going to facilitate us through chapter one on Everyone Communicates, Few Connect by John Maxwell. And so, Linda, I'm going to turn it over to you. And please give us a little idea of your background and what it is that you want to do once you start your own mastermind. And then go ahead and continue with the mastermind and just use this format just as if it were yours for your business and how you would actually facilitate. The whole goal is for all of us to see everyone's style so that when we're doing our own mastermind, we can take the best of the best of us and know what it is that we want to do and how we want to show up for our members. So over to you, Linda.
Oh, thank you so much. It is just such a pleasure to be here. I've been enjoying the previous sessions a great deal. And I want to thank Kathy for making this this basically training experience opportunity available to each of us so that we can kind of have a safe place to practice and learn so that when we're ready to open up our own masterminds, we'll be able to do so. So thank you for that. As to me, my name is Linda Thomas. I'm in the Pittsburgh area. have a long background in a brick and mortar business, and amassed quite a number of different skills: management, administration, bookkeeping, PR, public relations. I've run events like racing events, and I've gone and gathered all the sponsors and the advertisers. So it's just this conglomeration of various skills that I always wondered how I would begin to use all of them. And then in recent years, I was running a business with my husband who had a long illness and did eventually pass. So there was a whole journey in that way where I was a caretaker, had to learn to prioritize and juggle all the things the best I could. And then walking through the journey of handling his passing, the tasks that one must do, and then my own personal recovery from that, but physically, because I was completely depleted from being a round the clock caregiver. And so quite a time of getting my head sorted out to move forward and recover my health and strength. And so over time, as I opened my own coaching practice and was working with clients, I began to see one in particular was elderly, age 78, and I could see so clearly that the tech things I was trying to help her get set up and organized were going to be in great disarray if she would pass before we got through all of this. And she did have a health concern as well. So just the accumulation of all the life experiences and seeing the crisis that my client might face, I just began realizing that I needed to pull together all the things that I could do to help people. And that gave birth to a group course called the Legacy of Love Project. So the one sentence description of that is, I help people create their perfect end of life plan within 90 days so they can be a blessing to their loved ones instead of a burden. So that type of thing is what my mastermind will go toward, that and or helping entrepreneurs with their tech and in prioritizing the things that are really important in life. So that was what I was doing before the Legacy of Love came to be. So that is just a nutshell of what I'm doing in my world. I would like to go ahead and drop into the chat the link for the summary of the book we're going to cover today, which is Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And that way, if any of you haven't had an opportunity to download that summary, you'll be able to. Give me one moment. I'm operating with a minimized screen. I am not able to send a message to everyone. So that's strange. If Mason...
I'll check. It could be that I have to fix that in your...
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to make you a co-host as well. And that should give you all the same privileges that I have. So try that again.
Okay. Now I've got everyone. That's perfect.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And
I'm on my cell phone. So I'm a little like a fish out of water today myself, because I'm on my cell phone instead of my laptop.
You bet. It's the features are different, and it's just a little wonky if you don't use that all the time. So that link is in the chat. That is a PDF with a brief summary. And if you ever decide that you personally would like to run the mastermind, you'll get the entire facilitator's guide, which is pretty awesome as well. So with that said, I'm just going to close a screen or two here. Forgive me. I'm going to close the chat. Kathy, would you recommend that I leave the chat open?
It doesn't matter if you open or close it on your end. Each person can open it on their device.
True. But do you usually watch for comments in that way?
I do.
Okay. I tend to be more present with being able to react to everyone on the, you know, the group screen, but I can leave the chat open as well.
Yeah. On my desktop or laptop, when I'm actually working at my desk, I usually minimize the Zoom screen where I can see everyone. And then I open the chat so that I can monitor those comments. And again, I don't want to take away from Linda, but I'll jump in and say this, since we're all learning, is that if you're going to publish your Zoom code publicly, you have to be careful that you get some Zoom bombers in there, because sometimes folks will join the call that you don't know, and you can't tell at first whether they're truly interested in your material or whether they're there just to try to get a rise out of everybody because they don't have anything better to do that day. And so you will occasionally get some Zoom bombers, and sometimes they don't jump in and say anything in person, but they will start putting some inappropriate comments in your chat. So if your chat is open, then you can immediately tap on their name and you can get them out of there. So if you're running your meeting all by yourself, you have to monitor that chat as well. So back to you, Linda.
Okay, that is great. So the title of our book today is Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And we've all of us in this call have been on the planet for quite a few years now. And we've had a lot of experiences, both good and bad. And one thing that John Maxwell noticed, even as a child, is that if he had relationships with people, things went better if he truly connected. And he saw that it helped in maybe getting punished less as a boy and getting better opportunities with teachers and on sports teams and even with dating. So he was very attentive and realized that the more you focus on truly connecting with people, the better your life is going to go. So he focused his efforts, and over time, as you know, he became a highly recognized leader, speaker, and author. So in our conversation today, we're going to discuss a few questions on ways that we can begin to connect with people more deeply and in a better way. So one way that we can do that is by finding common ground with the other person. I'll go first, and then I'd like to get your comments from all of you on what you might think would be a good thing to do. An example I thought of is when you go to a regional or national event and you're there with a lot of people and you do have something in common, you know, the company that you're working for or representing, or the topic, like if it's a National Speakers Association or, you know, National Chiropractic Association or travel or whatever, you have something in common with them. So even though people may be strangers and from another part of the country or another part of the world, you've got ways of beginning to open up a conversation. And it could be something as simple as, how long have you been doing this or with this particular organization? It could be questions like, what do you like best about the event so far? And that can really go anywhere. It could be that they like where the event's being held or who the speakers have been so far, or it could be, wow, the food's really good, or man, the hotel is amazing, or man, this weather is so much better than what I have back home. So just anything to break the ice and begin starting a connection. And then you could go a little deeper with things like, what are your biggest takeaways so far here at the event? Or what's the first thing you plan to implement when you get back home? So you can really just spur some pretty interesting conversations just with some basic questions like that. Does anyone else have some suggestions for ways you could begin to find common ground with someone?
Linda, okay, go ahead, Mason.
Oh. I was going to say one thing I do is I tend to be self-aware in terms of my goods and my not so goods. And I'll listen to folks and depending on the situation, have fun with that. Trying to find the common ground. And even if that means I'll make a little joke, kind of, I'll use the word self-deprecating, but that's even too strong. But maybe have fun with, say, a stereotype. Like, for example, I'm the only guy in this room, so I've got to be careful of what I say. A couple of you smiled. So I've Debbie, you're flat out laughing. Stop. So the idea is understanding that stuff, because then it shows people you have a sense of humor, a sense of humor about yourself. And that's not, like I said, I want to be very clear. It's not that I'm going to go in and pick on myself, but have a little bit of fun with it. For a guy like me who can't tell jokes because I forget punchlines and my delivery is horrible, I try and find other ways to show I have a sense of humor, because I have found over time to relate to people, a sense of humor is a great way of breaking the ice. So
it truly is. And, you know, just lightening things up. I mean, if you take yourself so deadly seriously, like, here I am with strangers, I don't even know how to connect, and you're like sweating bullets and wringing your hands, boy, who wants to come talk to you? But if you make a few light comments, it just makes everything so much easier. Anybody else have a suggestion for us?
I want to just jump in. Linda, some of the things that I try, especially if I'm at a big symposium or an event where I meet a lot of people, is one of the first things that I do is I try to, and I have already created an electronic business card, because I don't know about you, but when people kind of lead off with their card in their hand, it almost makes it feel kind of salesy, like they're trying to sell me something. And so I have an electronic business card. And so when someone says, gee, I'd like to connect, I say, oh, let me send you a text. So we can connect. And so when I send them a text, instead of just texting my name, I actually text my Linktree link. And for those of you that aren't aware, Linktree has a free version. It looks rather amazing. And I just text them my Linktree, and it kind of Linktree is so easy because you're just putting links on it. So easy to update. It's not like your website, which takes a minute to update it. Your Linktree is super easy to update. And so whatever you have going on, you can put at the top of your Linktree. You know, if you've got an event, for example, if you're creating a masterclass or a 5-day challenge, you can put that link at the top of your Linktree. And then when you text that to somebody, it's just a beautiful thing. So anyway, that's my suggestion. And that's what I plan on doing this weekend. and at this speaker's conference. So back to you, Linda.
Thank you for bringing that up. Linktree is a really great way of connecting with people. And I recently discovered another one that is pretty awesome and even more full featured at the free level. And it's called direct.me. I put Linktree and direct.me in the chat because the Linktree URL address is a little funky, where instead of like .com, it's .ee. So, once again, as a reminder, if anyone does not know how to save the chat, go down to the lower right corner of the chat box. There are three dots side by side. If you click that, you can save chat, and everything that has been put into this chat or any other chat that you're on can be downloaded. Then you can capture and work with the items later. But direct.me is super cool. I actually have Linktree on my business card. I wish I had known about direct.me first. So just a few ideas, things that you can work with to help share the great word about the things that you're doing. Angela, did you have any suggestions for good ways to find common ground?
I'm very personal person. So I always just get right on to the family part. Do you have family, kids? Are you married? Stuff like that. Because I don't know. That's who I am. And I always want to know about a person's family and stuff. And then I find that we have, as humans, we do have a lot of common ground when it comes to stuff like that. Either single or not single, we still have family. So I just like to zoom in on that and stuff, and then I go for the business part of it.
Yeah, that's a great way. And you feel like you know a lot about a person once you know a few things, what their role is in life. You know, husband, wife, mom, dad. All the things, it sheds a lot of light, more than just are they vice president of sales or something. You know a lot more,
right? And well, a lot of times too.
No, I was going to compliment you, Angela, because by asking about the personal stuff, mm-hmm. you're creating an empathy. It's an empathy factor because you're talking to the person, not the title on the business card or anything mm-hmm. like that. You're talking to them as a person. So that goes a long way towards creating some immediate empathy between the two of you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so truly. And I mean, we're talking about connecting. What's more at the core of a person than talking about those topics mm-hmm. in their life?
Sorry, I was late. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Sally.
Hi. So I missed that part of the conversation, but that is actually hard for me to do because I don't like people kind of getting into my private life. So I feel uncomfortable asking people about their private life and different things about them because I just don't. I will share information if I'm comfortable, but I don't feel comfortable asking people. Maybe just generalities, but nothing in depth.
So you're more comfortable sharing about yourself, but not, you feel like you're prying if you ask about their life?
I do.
Okay.
I do. But I'm not even comfortable sharing with everybody about myself. I have to have a certain comfort level that if I share something, they're not going to turn around and use it. I don't want to say use it against me, but that's happened. But, you know, so I'm a more private person. So it's that's hard for me to say, oh, hi, how are you? You know, and if they give me that information, that's fine. But if I learned somebody is in the hospital or something's happened, I don't ask. Because I feel like that's prime. I don't ask why you're in the hospital. I don't ask. But that's me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all have our own personal style. And so we go with that. But we all also are on a journey. So we can experiment with tiny explorations, you know, tiny questions, tiny steps that don't feel like too much of an invasion, and just see if that feels a little more comfortable and maybe grow in that way. You may not be the kind of person that'll go straight to the deep end of the pool and know everything about them in 10 minutes. And that's okay, because your style is your style, but we also don't want you to be, feel like you're held away from getting to know people either. So maybe just tiny experiments and just see how it goes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to follow up on that word. Oh. Huh? I'm going to follow up on the word experiments, because Sally, you bring up an important part. I'm actually uncomfortable with small talk. I am. I've met all you, so I'm a little better, but if I was to meet Ann for the first time right now, I'm very uncomfortable. But in my own head, I have practiced 5 or 6 different things. And as hokey as it sounds, I have 5 or 6 different things in my head as a go-to to break the ice. That, for example, I don't like sharing personal stuff till I know a person. I'm totally on board with you, Sally. But I, in my head, I have practiced several things that I can talk about, and I've gotten comfortable because I've practiced them one way or another. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. We all have our levels of comfort and our like that. So even if you're going to go into a situation where you're going to have to meet people, whether you want to or not, for me, I practice certain things in my head, and I don't mean to sound phony or fake, but it's like, okay, so I don't have to think what I want to talk about. I have it there, and then I can just react accordingly. If I were to try something and Sally just looked at me blank and like, yeah, that tells me I'll try something else. Or maybe that tells me maybe, you know, I need to either back away or something. But for me to get past that discomfort, you know, I'll have certain things I talk about.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good idea.
So, and it's just a way of easing your own fears. It's no different than going on before a presentation. Practice. And it sounds goofy. It really does. But it pays off to have those certain things you can talk about repeatedly.
And it's not that I don't care about people. I do care about people. I just wait for them, if they're comfortable, to share things with me. And Kathy and Debbie can attest, I can interact well with a crowd, you know, when I give my travel presentations, and, you know, it's a good back and forth, but it's not an individual back and forth. It's a group.
See, for me, that's a control. For me, I'm the same way. If I'm in front of everybody, I'm in charge, I'm in control. But if I'm in the middle of the crowd one-on-one, I'm not, for my personality style. That makes me uncomfortable. That makes me feel very vulnerable, if you will. Literally, that's the word I want to use. That's why I've had to learn to practice that. Because for me, when I'm uncomfortable, my face recognizes it as very standoffish. And then I put on this look like I don't care. And I have found this out the hard way. So that's why the whole practice, when you're one-on-one, you got to talk to a person. Yeah. When you're in a crowd, you can talk to, hey, you know what? When you're in front of the crowd, you talk to the whole group. But when you're one-on-one, that's a whole different thing. It's a whole different dynamic for me. So
I would like to comment on what you just said, Mason, in that the fact that you came up with that little plan, that little go-to, that, let's even just call it a crutch, you know, just that little thing that gives you that extra bit of support and comfort. When we're uncomfortable and out of our element, just as you said, Mason, it shows in our faces, and people see the discomfort and the whatever those expressions are on our face, the downturned mouth, the furrowed brow, whatever. And they're like, wow, that person is angry, you know, negative. They start telling a story in their head about what's going on with you, And they don't know that it's just that you're uncomfortable. So just having that couple little tricks in your bag that can make you a little more comfortable going in enables you to just step in and know that you've got something instead of floundering, you know?
I've been called stuck up on more than one occasion.
Yep. Yep. They're making up a story based on what they think they see, and it's not the truth.
That's so true. On the other hand, that makes me more empathetic to other people who don't want to, who might appear stuck up, but I recognize in them the same things in me. So I don't make that assumption.
Yeah. So you're a lot less quick to judge because of that. And you're already telling yourself a story. Oh, they're probably shy, retiring, reserved, whatever.
They may totally be stuck up. I'm not going to put that label on them right away.
You give them the benefit of the doubt at least.
Yeah.
That's good. Debbie, did you have anything to contribute?
Well, yeah, I like the stuck up, because if we don't put the label on them, they've already got that label. They've put the label on themselves, being stuck up and being not one that you want to talk to. But for me, I 99% of the time, I don't have trouble talking to anybody. I mean, therefore, before COVID, you know, people were amazed that I was able to, I mean, I had a regular conversation with somebody at a drive-through from McDonald's, and they gave me their name and phone number. And, or there were times where I would go into the ladies' room, and again, I came out with names and phone numbers. Not that I was trying to pick anybody up, but, you know, like I said, 99% of the time, it comes easy for me. So, you know, it's hard for me to answer that question, because I've never really stopped to think about that angle. And you know, that's a good question. I mean, that's a good question for me to, like, think about.
You know, what's cool is if you ponder it and think of a couple things that you do kind of naturally, you could teach those to your grandchildren so that they have that. I mean, they may have already kind of osmosed your gift of gab already, but if some of them aren't really stepping out comfortably in that way, you might be able to share some things that you learned.
Yes, I agree. And I can see it I have 9 grandchildren. So, you know, I can see what you're saying. Yeah.
That's funny, Debbie, because if somebody did that to me, you know, I would just kind of put that shield down right away. And I'm sure that happened to you if you tried to strike up a conversation with somebody and they weren't really responsive. Maybe not. Maybe you just bring out. But if somebody approaches me like that, I just, and it's not because I'm stuck up either.
No, but that's who you are as an individual.
Yeah.
And you know,
my personal barriers, my personal space.
Right. And I understand that, because, I mean, there are times where, you know, women are just, I don't want to say like you, their thing comes up or goes down, and they just, you know, one word answers. But here's a funny thing. Just recently, I was standing in Myers and looking at strawberries and contemplating, you know, and this lady came up, and the next thing I know, we're having a 20-minute conversation, and she is going to become a customer with me. I mean, just from that conversation. And it was like, whoa, okay, what did I do? Can I do that again?
Well, that's great. That's great. That's not that I'm not friendly to people. You know,
no, I don't. You are.
Ship them off, but
yeah. Hey, I've spent how many trips with you?
Yeah. Well, this is good. I wanted to check in. Anne, did you have anything you'd like to add to this?
Well, only that I can't imagine, even in a conference, I don't know that I have ever struck up a conversation with someone in the women's room, in the ladies' room, and walked out with a contact kind of thing. And people, I can't imagine those kinds of things in the grocery store. I don't usually, so to me, it sort of has to be a back and forth kind of thing. And I don't ever ask people, random people in the grocery store, even if they're standing beside me, you know, about what kind of strawberries do you like? How do you pick them? I don't do those kinds of things. And I don't, so those kinds of, doing that would be really unnatural for me kind of thing. It's one of the things that I am curious about because I don't go to a lot of conferencey things anymore. So this idea of picking up strangers in random places is something I'm curious about.
So
strangers not in a gender specific way, or picking up not in a gender specific kind of purpose, but more in the, you know.
If you were at a vendor event, this is something totally different. At a vendor event,
yes.
You're expected to ask questions. You know, people come to my table, I say, well, you like to travel, where do you like to go? You know, or maybe say, oh, that's a pretty dress, you know.
Right, but it's
something personal like that, but so that's a whole different environment.
Yeah. It's tied to your passion. It's tied to your passion. Mm. For example, I know Debbie is into things such as, this is a broad stroke here, Debbie, so don't shoot me, but agriculture, growing, things like that. She's very interested in that. That's not my thing. So whatever your passion is, that's what would be easiest probably come to talk about. Mm-hmm. I spent time yesterday. So yesterday, my daughter's 14. I had to go buy a pair of shorts for her. Okay. So they sent me to American Eagle. And I've got a picture and I've got detailed instructions, and that's what I need. Got it. Of course, they were sold out. So I got the ones I wanted. But somehow the young lady behind the counter made a comment, was talking about things in general. And we got talking about the concept of masterminds and side gigs and doing things besides what she does in her day-to-day job. Okay. Her interest was painting. But how do you take that? There's no way to make money on that. Okay, so, and these are things I picked up from Kathy and other places. We started talking for a few minutes. I said, actually, I don't agree with you. And here's why. And we talked for about 20 minutes. There was a couple of us and the store was empty. So we talked about 20 minutes and I made some suggestions, this, and that. Because for me, I'm interested in those things. So whatever your passion is, you never know where that conversation may strike up. For example, Sally and I may not have a lot in common, but if I say I'm interested in traveling, or, you know, I was talking to a friend, said they want to go over to Portugal. I really loved Portugal when I was there many years ago. All of a sudden, that brief little comment about I like Portugal, Sally, with her travel hat on, who likes traveling, would then might be more comfortable to jump and say, hey, you know, whatever. You know, something about travel, related to travel or going places. So it's whatever your passion is, it's probably where to talk to a stranger, where that will come from.
Right.
You know, as a source. So even if you're uncomfortable. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that definitely makes it so much easier, because when you have something that you love or a passionate message that you feel you want to share, that really just lowers any amount of fear or resistance greatly. So if you didn't want to like toot your own horn, you'd be resistant. But if you had a cause or something that you really wanted to share passionately, it just comes out naturally. So I'm going to move on to the next question that we have for our discussion today. And that is, how do you keep your communication simple? Because if we overcomplicate and make things so thick to wade through, connection isn't occurring either. And when I thought about this, I remembered the old Dragnet TV show where Joe Friday would say, just the facts, ma'am. So we want to keep it simple. We want to keep it clear. And then also in the world of marketing, you know, if we are in a particular field where it's, you know, medical or computers or even agricultural, there are buzzwords and jargon that we throw around, and sometimes there are technical terms. If we start peppering our speech with those, somebody who's not in the loop is not going to understand what we're saying. We are failing to communicate, and we're kind of shutting them down and making them feel kind of dumb that they didn't know what we were talking about. And most people aren't secure enough to ask you what you meant. They'll keep quiet because they don't want to look like a dummy. And you've really hindered your connecting with them instead of helping it. And the goal is not to make ourselves look smart at all expense. The goal is to engage with the other person. So what do you guys do in order to keep your communication simple?
I have a comment, Linda. If I'm meeting somebody that's a total stranger, let's say at a grocery store or in the ladies' room or whatever, I like to start with a phrase, and I just do a one sentence phrase, and I'll say something like, well, I don't know about you, but, and then I'll add my phrase like, I don't know about you, but I hate it when there's water all over the sink when I come out of the restroom. Or I don't know about you, but I have a terrible time choosing what kind of strawberries to get. Or I don't know about you, but boy, I think it's really hot today. And to be walking out here at this, you know, on this, going to this coffee shop or wherever, whatever the situation is. And that seems to strike up a conversation, because if I start my sentence with, I don't know about you, but I, as soon as I say that, it's almost an invitation for them to also tell me what they think. When I say, I don't know about you, but here's what I think. It's like a kind of a subtle invitation. And then if I'm in an actual meeting, a business meeting or a symposium or a conference or something like that, so many folks are going around the room and, you know, thinking they're going to network, and they're, you know, they're coming at you with their business card, and they all say, well, what is it that you do? What is it that you do? What is it that you do? And so what I like to do is change it up and say, what is it that you do when you're not working?
Right.
And all of a sudden, to Mason's point, it brings out their passion. They'll say, oh, I love gardening, or oh, I love hiking, or I love biking, or whatever it is. And now, see, I know where to have my conversation with them, because it's their passion. It's all about them, and that gets them talking, and that makes them feel like they're heard. So those are my two tips. If it's total stranger, I don't know about you, but as for me, I think this. And if it's in a business environment, I say, what is it that you do when you're not working? So back to you, Linda.
Great. Those are good ones to help open people up, because it gets them talking about what they think and what they love. And actually, we're going to go into that a little bit more in a few moments with one of the other questions. I have something that I think you're going to find intriguing, but I'm going to just hold it for a moment till we get there. Anybody else have suggestions for how to keep your communication simple?
I can honestly say that I have a challenge when it comes to keeping things simple, because I like conversation. I like to know more about, I guess the the fat about people and stuff like that. But to get, I just also find that people, even strangers, we want to be heard. And so with that, just the facts is okay, but there's more to a person than, no matter where you are, than just the facts. So I am challenged by keeping something simple and very direct. But I know that for me, I'm also, I know who I am. I'm not big about me, but also I have learned that I am a sower. With that being a sower, with that being said, I'm used today, for instance. Today I went to the salon, whatever, and people were talking about how they were so tired, like that, and they were just so tired. And my thing is, oh, why are you tired? So, and that struck another, you know, segue right there, just by asking that simple question to the women there. And one in particular, she shared she was tired because her air conditioner was broken and she didn't have air. So that being said, that allowed me to be myself and say, hey, this is a stranger. I have two fans that I'm not using in my attic. So, and so, of course, we exchanged numbers. And now later today, I'm going to go bring her the two fans and stuff, just by her making a simple comment. I'm tired. I'm asking, oh, okay, what? Well, why are you tired? And the rest is history.
You just made a new friend. So. Yeah, I mean, you asked an open-ended question, so that just opened up everything to let the conversation go wherever it wanted. And I think we could all learn from that lady. You know, people love to help. And if we just open our mouths every now and again, instead of trying to be so darn stoic all the time and trying to trudge through and handle all the things ourselves, if we say, I could really use this, or I need help with that, you'd be surprised how willing people are to help.
I would say, I was like my grandkids and even my son when he was growing up, I would tell them, somebody in the world wants to give you something. That's how my thinking is. So only reason you don't have it because you didn't ask. So you have not because you asked not, because somebody is looking for you to help you. And, you know, so if I open my mouth, the person might be standing right next to me.
Yeah.
And I don't even know it, so.
Right, like in the world of business, if you really need a receptionist, mm-hmm. open your mouth. If you are, you know, divorced or widowed and you're ready to get into relationships, be telling people, I'm getting ready to start dating again. You know, if you really need somebody to build a website for you, open your mouth. Somebody's going to know somebody, you know? Anybody else have any ideas on keeping it simple? Debbie?
What you were just saying reminded me of the book, The Secret. Always, if you want something, and you don't necessarily have to just say it, but you have to live it. Like in the Secret, the woman parked in the middle of her garage, so she needed to park on the one side of the garage, and she spread her clothes all out in her closet, and she needed to condense, make room for that. But anyways, I was going to mention that when I listen to people, I respond to what they're sharing with me. My eye doctor yesterday, she was talking about the little things that she's trying to grow, and she had a blueberry bush, but it wasn't doing anything. I said, "Do you have two of them?" She goes, no. I said, well, when you're growing blueberries, or it, you know, like blueberries and raspberries, you have to have more than one bush. They need the togetherness in order to produce. So, you know, and people don't realize, and so I don't come across as a know-it-all. They've shared something with me, and I basically have an answer to their situation. So that's what I wanted to share.
Yeah, I mean, you're providing a simple solution. You saw a problem that they were experiencing, and fortunately, you had some background on that particular issue. And in a couple of sentences, you shared something that could solve their entire problem for them.
Yeah, and that always, you know, that fills my heart that I'm helping them. And I mean, and right now, blueberries are like driving Rick and I crazy, because it's like we go out in the morning and pick from the five bushes, and by nighttime there's more. So, you know, we thought, well, we're just going to eat them this year. Man, I got more blueberries than I know what to do with.
I'm surprised your teeth aren't blue.
I know. I've been eating blueberries any way I can find. And even they're in a dish, couple dishes on the bar, you know, you just grab a handful of them and eat them.
Man, great. I wish I was closer to you. Oh my gosh. Excellent. Ann, did you have anything on this? And you're muted, by the way. There you go.
So keeping things simple isn't really a challenge for me, because I do try and get other people to talk more than I do. I have sort of a, you know, scale in my head kind of thing. And so I'm pretty good at, once a conversation starts, of getting other people to talk. Because I think that's the important thing, is you just, you know, the keep it simple part is just remembering not to talk more than the person that you're trying to get to know.
Right. That's good. That's really good. Have we heard from everybody on this one? Because I'm going to lose track more and more after we do more rounds. And if not, if we've heard from everybody, I'll move on to the next question. And that is, how do you capture your listeners' interest? And as we've started to kind of reveal, it's make it about them. And if anybody's been through Dale Carnegie's course or has heard him mentioned, he says that people love hearing their own name. It's like music to them. But this is something that I learned just recently. And it is that, I mean, you always suspected it, but scientifically it's true. People love talking about themselves. It literally stimulates the same centers in their brain as money, sex, and chocolate. Let that sink in. We love talking about ourselves. So if you get somebody turned loose to do that, they are going to feel a lot more free in connecting with you. And I do have a story that I heard a while back that I think is super cool. This goes back to Britain at the time, and I don't follow British politics to say that I know these people myself, but when Benjamin Disraeli and William Gladstone were competing for presidency, for the prime minister position in Great Britain, they both ended up having dinner with one woman, a prominent woman who was Winston Churchill's mother. And after the dinner completed, a journalist asked her, what did she think of the two men? What was her impression? And I'm going to read this. She said, when I left the dining room after sitting next to Gladstone, I thought he was the cleverest man in England. But when I sat next to Disraeli, I left feeling that I was the cleverest woman. because Disraeli had spent the whole evening asking her questions and listening intently to every response that she had. So her impression of him was that he was a more wonderful, engaging, brilliant person and more worthy of her vote because of his respect toward her. Any other ideas that you all might have about how to capture your listeners' attention?
Linda, I want to jump in and just say it's at the top of the hour. So if anyone does have to leave, we certainly understand. This is being recorded. And so you can find the recording if you go to KathyBenner.com and scroll down to the free meetup and tap through, you'll find all of the recordings there. So I don't want to interrupt. I just wanted to say that because I know someone early on said that they had to jump off right at 11. So, so I just want to mention that. And
yeah. Thank you, Kathy. I was watching the time as well, and I definitely didn't want Angela to be late for her appointment. Yeah, and thanks for joining us for the time you had.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. You did an excellent job. I appreciate you, and I'll see you next month. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you, everybody. I'm going to jump off, too.
Okay.
Okay.
Have a great 4th of July weekend next weekend.
You, too.
Yes. Thank you, Sally. So now back to you, Linda, to your question, and I'll let you continue.
Right. And the question is, how do you capture your listeners' attention? Any suggestions from you all?
For me, I have found kind of relate through some kind of story, short story, but something relevant, something related to what the topic is. But people were brought up on stories. So that's a way of connecting. That's the way I use for helping connect people. So.
Yeah. Stories are so key, so brilliant, and so innate to the way we're wired as human beings. Any suggestions, Debbie, on this particular one?
You know, I've just been trying to think about a good answer for that, but I'm not really coming up with one.
There are times where it doesn't hit you, you know?
Right, exactly. And it's not hitting me at the moment. It will when we get it done.
Yeah, I was in a mastermind, like a hot seat one, where people could contribute. And for whatever reason, the issue that person presented with, I had nothing. And every time we'd go around for a clarifying question or a helpful comment, I'm like, nothing. I can't. Felt terrible, but I just had nothing to bring.
No. And you'd rather admit it than just kind of fumble through the words and not make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, I did want to say, I love your virtual background.
Thank you.
I knew that you were considering, getting one. So.
Yes. Yes. I have several, but this one makes me feel, I don't know, more me,
I like it. It has a lot of depth. And it's very spacious and, rich wood tones and all that. That's a good one. Cool. So that was a sidebar. Okay, great. And let me just take a look at. Capturing a person's interest. I like the idea of asking questions that show that you're interested in them. Kathy had alluded to some earlier, which are really good. And one that is nice in the work field is, what led you into this line of work? Or how did you end up doing what you're doing? Another one is, what's one of the craziest things that happened to you in your career, in your line of work? Because if somebody's in medicine or insurance or, landscaping, anything, They are going to have crazy stories. Even Kathy in the world of nail salons, I'm sure she's had crazy ones. And then in a recent one, she told a heartrending one, which I still have never forgotten from one of her clients. But yeah, what's one of the craziest things that's happened in your line of work? Similar to what Kathy said, what's fascinating you right now? And what do you love to do when you're not at work? And that can definitely get them started for sure. And I think this is our last question for the day, which is, what keeps you authentic? In leading others, this is what came to my mind. When you're leading other people, you really only have to be a few steps ahead of where they are in order to help them where they are. And what I thought about is I'd heard once that in a court of law, you can be considered a subject matter expert just if you know more than the average person in that courtroom. You have the ability to speak on that topic. And so let's say weight loss, just making something up. You managed to lose X number of pounds. You're sharing what you did. Obviously, you can't prescribe for everyone because there are different health considerations in everybody's case, but you can say, well, I ate this way and I moved my body more by doing this. And, you know, if you want to try it, you know, come along with me and I'm just sharing what worked for me, just as a thing. And also like in tech tips. Well, heck, nobody knows everything about tech and computers. It changes every nanosecond. But if you figured out a few ways to organize your tasks and make your computer run better and some pretty groovy apps that you put on your phone, et cetera, then you can help someone else drastically improve their life. And so my point is you don't have to have arrived. Just stay humble and just acknowledge where you are and where you've come from. And remember the steps and the missteps of your journey so far, and be candid in sharing those mistakes and even some embarrassing moments when you really flubbed up. And people will love and respect you all the more by being authentic in that way and not trying to present yourself as perfect and having arrived. So that's my take on staying authentic. And it's not always easy because you have to be, you know, you have to expose your underbelly a little bit, you know, be a little bit vulnerable. But we tend to think that by protecting the underbelly, that's the better way to go. But people respect you much less because they know that you're holding back. It's when you share that they respect and admire and follow you. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts from you all?
I agree. I totally agree with that. I mean, that was like spot on, really. And it kind of went along with a little bit of what I said. You know, you don't want to say something and respond, or you don't want to respond if you really don't understand, because then you're going to sound foolish and you're going to sound like you weren't listening and that you're just talking and people don't like that.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing off the subject? Mm-hmm. Kathy, you'd need to take a screenshot of how you look right now. That'll go great on your website.
Yay. All right.
Well, thank you, Debbie. I'm actually sitting in the car somewhere between Sarasota and Miami in a parking lot doing this call because I was bouncing around too much with Mark driving. So I talked him into pulling over. So he's been patiently waiting for me.
Well, yeah,
thank you for that.
You have the breeze gently rustling through your hair.
Exactly.
You can go to the replay and capture some screenshots when you have time.
Yes, good idea. Good idea. Well, this has been a great call. I love it. Linda, you've done a wonderful job. Thank you so much for coming on today and being the facilitator. Now, don't forget, and I'm going to say this for all of you folks that are on the call and then for those that listen to the replay, is we do the free call like this one every fourth Friday at 10 a.m., but we're going to start our actual mastermind going a little deeper this coming Monday. It's going to be the fourth Monday of every month at 12 noon. And so this coming Monday, we normally have our bloggers group there, but this coming Monday, we're actually going to do how to create a 5-session mastermind, masterclass, or challenge. And we're going to talk all about all the different platforms that you can use to do that. That's going to be our topic on Monday, is start at the very beginning. And the very first thing you have to choose is your platform. And then, of course, once you have the platform and you're comfortable with it, then you have to start putting together your topics and how you're going to break down your 5 sessions. So that's what we're going to talk about Monday. All of you on the call are automatically in as a founding member. I'm going to make a note on my tablet as to everyone that listened in today. So you are invited to be a founding member at no charge. And as this goes on, there will be a $25 membership fee for new members joining later on. So you guys get in on the ground level, because you're all here today. So thank you so much for that. Linda, you have any final comments before we go today?
The one comment is our next meeting will be the fourth Friday of the month. That'll be July 22nd at 10 a.m. Eastern. And if anyone is reading along, that'll be Chapter 2, Connecting is All About Others. And if you haven't downloaded the summary or don't have the book yet, the summary is in the chat. You can copy that. But I just want to thank you again, Kathy, for making this opportunity available. I've been wanting to have my own mastermind for quite some time. And life has been developing, you know, what my primary emphasis is and will be. But just getting seat time like this is really wonderful for me.
Yes, I get it. I get it. Sometimes you just have to jump in and start doing it and kind of get your sea legs, I like to say, so that you're comfortable in that position. And so I want to say you did a wonderful job. You kept the conversation going. You made sure that everyone had a turn to share what they were thinking, and it very well done. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Any comments, Debbie or Mason, before we go?
Well, you said it's at noon on Monday, and it's typically, isn't it the newbie? So is newbie bloggers moving somewhere else?
No, the newbie bloggers, we're just going to do it once a month and give everyone a chance to get their blogs written. And so this is going to sneak in on that second time that we normally do the newbie bloggers, and it's going to be this mastermind instead. So it kind of goes hand in hand, like, because as you're building a better business and you're learning to blog to help promote your business, having a master class or mastermind or a 5-day challenge goes right in line with all the other material. So I'm looking forward to seeing everyone Monday. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone Monday at noon.
Great.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You did an excellent job, Linda.
All right.
Good job.
Great job, Linda.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
All right. And Mason, thank you so much for being my co-host, and Linda as the facilitator today. And so we'll see everybody on Monday at noon, and enjoy your weekend.
Will do. Take care.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.